You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
For episode 196, we want to cry, but we're just not going to. This is the IT. Virus jokes are funny. This is the IT and the D show, and we are the week before Motor City Comic Con, and we are excited to be here. We have three in-house guests. There are three guests of the show. Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Power Ranger, is in the house. Also, Colonel Boomer from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah, he's in the house. And Candyman. He's calling in. Five times, not three times. Beetlejuice is three times.
Yeah, exactly.
Candyman is five times.
And he was on Chuck. We're talking Chuck.
I know.
It's going to happen.
We also have Peter Gunther in the house. He's an instructor at Grand Circus downtown talking about a cool new coding program they have that coincides with ours up in Flint. So should be a great, great, great program. And thank you for listening to us. This episode brought to you by our friends at Accelera Solutions. If you find yourself wondering whether your IT systems are secure, they're probably not. No kidding. Don't take chances. Get yourself some help from the experts. Talk to the engineers at Accelera Solutions about what they've been doing for years, securing networks, apps, all kinds of IT systems, including virtual technology from VMware. Visit their website, accelerasolutions.com/security.
You want to try that again?
I only had one beer. Visit their website at accelerasolutions.com/security. That's Accelera, A-C-C-A-E-L-E-R-A solutions.com/security.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
It's I Love the 90s. And this is 1996.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
The price is wrong, bitch.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig you IT geeks. This is Dre DeMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bunghole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone tries.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
Show me the money!
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
There were no utensils in medieval times. Hence, there are no utensils at medieval times. Would you like a refill on that Pepsi?
There were no utensils, but there was Pepsi?
I may have to wipe the heat off.
Losers always whine about their best. Winners go home and stuff the prom queen.
Carla was the prom queen.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds. Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Number one, you can never have sex.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Number two, you can never drink or do drugs.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
And number three, never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
You had me at hello.
This is Robert Hayes, Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Oh, well, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, is that useful to you?
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
You don't need to hear a thing like that. You're just a boy.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Oh!
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish.
So, what would you little maniac like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do?
Ludicrous speed! Sir, and you better buckle up. Buckle this. Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thank you for listening, and you are listening to the one and only IT and the D Show. We are all the way at episode 196, broadcasting here live, Studio One, Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Dr. Hook Jeremiah in the house, as well as Randy, I do to Twitter's Walker. Thank you for hanging out with us. Join us online, itinthed.com, because we... Our IT and the D and you just still
or not, no matter what you do, no matter what you try, no matter anything.
Mark
no.
your calendars, as this week is a crazy, crazy week. On May 18th, we're going to be at the Motor City, or at Motor City, we're going to be at the Michigan Cyber Range Con, MCR Con up in Dearborn at the Henry.
Ann Arbor,
All the things.
You're like my grandmother running through every name in the family, including the dog, before she lands on the right name of the child.
I got it right. And then during the day, then at night, we're going to be at Nancy Whiskey's. That's on Thursday the 18th. Then the 19th through 21st, we're going to be at our Invariable Super Bowl, the Motor City Comic Con. We're going to have a booth, and we're going to be podcasting, and we're going to be talking about podcasting and –
properties of podcasting
and stuff.
It'll be demented and sad, but social.
We got a awesome guest lineup. We have actually three guests from Motor City Comic Con in the house. Amy Jo Johnson from the Pink Power Ranger will be here, as well as
she's not from the Pink Power Ranger. She is the Pink Power Ranger.
And then we also have Colonel Boomer from Battlestar Galactica and Candyman, as well as Peter Gunther. He is a instructor at Grand Circus, talking about a very cool new coding program coming to downtown Detroit.
So speaking of this cool stuff coming to downtown, there's an upcoming conference called Gateway 17 that's hosted by Alibaba that's going to be down here in Detroit. So Alibaba, if you don't know, it's sort of the Chinese version of Amazon and Google combined, and it's kind of huge. This conference, it's set up specifically to help you tap into the Chinese market. With 500 million consumers, that's more than the entire U.S. population. It's a demographic you might want to pay attention to. They've created this huge marketplace, but they need U.S. businesses to supply products. So what they do is they connect everything from inventory to marketing, from translation and payment, shipping, returns. You supply the product, they handle the rest.
We got to hook up Kaysen with this, because I think his ginger water would kill in the Asian market.
You know what? It actually probably would.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah, totally. So here's the deal. Gateway 17, it's a two-day event. It's right here in Detroit. So for those of you that are listening out of the state, we got a deal for you. You might want to pay attention, because it's worth coming in town for. It's June 20th through 21st. Speakers include Jack Ma. The man is worth $20 billion with a B.
He is the doors that go up.
Yeah, he has the doors that go up. I assure you, he has the doors that go up. And David Abney, CEO at UPS, as well as Charlie Rose, and much, much more. Gateway 17, basically what they want to do is they want to matchmake. They want to educate. They want to teach you everything you need to know. And this conference, Gateway 17, is where you're going to get started. So they have limited availability, but for our listeners, we kind of scored a pretty good offer for you. The retail price on this event is $500. Now, you know us. We hear $500, we balk, we say, no, that's not going to work. So our listeners, you pay $125. That's 75% off, just $125, and it's here in Detroit. So if you're local, there's no hotel, no flight, nothing extra to pay for. And if you're not local, that's cheap enough, you might want to consider coming in town and hanging out and seeing what's going on. Prices do go up in 10 days on May 25th, so sign up before that to score this deal. Here's how you get there. You go to gateway17.com. That's G-A-T-E-W-A-Y, the numbers 17.com. Enter ITD when you register. You're going to pay $125 before May 25th, but only if you use ITD when you sign up. It's a great growth opportunity for current businesses as well as entrepreneurs. Go to gateway17.com. Again, that's gateway, G-A-T-E-W-A-Y. TEWAY, number7.com. And when you register, ITD is the code that knocks 75% off.
Wow.
Can you get me 75% off of everything else in my life?
No.
We're not that good.
Oh, man.
We try.
So, Dave, Comic-Con's this weekend.
Yes, it is. So, Super Bowl.
I don't want to spill the can of worms, but we put out a list of everyone that we want show ID drops for our intro.
We did. We sat down the other day and we put together, because we're nerds, a Google Sheet of the celebrity and the drop that we need, and we're just going to make that happen.
Obviously, Kelly LeBrock's number one on my list.
She has been since 1985.
Yeah, yeah. My problem is I'm praying that Anthony Michael Hall doesn't pull a Andrew McCarthy on us. And just turns out to be like not having fun. Like I'm just here to get paid, guy.
I really hope not. From what I've heard about him, I don't believe that's going to be the case. Because I've heard some stories.
For being the funniest guy ever back in the day, he's so serious now.
Like I do. I want us to be sitting around the table, and I want him to throw on sunglasses and go, "Chicks, can I hold a smoke?" That's what it is.
There's no, you know, that's the problem.
I want to look him dead in the eye and go, "Fats man, I'm going to tell you my story, man."
See, now that's the problem. That was like when I walked up to Cindy Morgan, who is Lacey Underalls from Caddyshack, and I said, "So, I guess Nova is a nice change from dreary old Manhattan." And she just kind of gave me this blank stare like, "How many people said that before me?" And she's like, "All of them." I'm like, "God, I hate myself." Like, the canned lines are going to be just, you know, I think the one thing is, after watching Silicon Valley last night, I'm more dork to meet Guilfoyle,
yeah.
Just because.
I do. I want I hate Bob and Dave more than I hate Dinesh.
Yeah, totally. That's what I want. We're going to get them to do it. And that's the thing, I don't want to jinx ourselves. So right now we're totally, and it's, like, honest to God, we're like mid-40s and we're geeked about meeting like our movie star, like
Bob, this is nothing new to anybody who listens.
Yeah,
this is every year.
Listened to your intro?
Yeah, I know.
No, but I mean, it is. I mean, so that's going to be phenomenal. I mean, that entire weekend is always a great time, and not just because of the celebs. I mean, we get to hang out with all our friends, you know, some of which we only see once a year, or you know, a couple times a year at cons and that kind of stuff. If you are anywhere in the area, for the love of God, hit MotorCityComicCon.com. Come to the con, hang out. We've got two booths. We're going to be right by Celebrity Row like we were last year. We're going to be set up. I think we have like 13 different shows that are signed up to do live broadcasts throughout the course of the weekend already. We've got a couple of hours that I'm keeping reserved to just be kind of like open mic, cross pod things, like whoever wants to sit in and do your thing.
And not only that, we always forget Artist Alley, like all of our friends that put out some amazing, that are talented, and we totally gloss over them because we all want to talk about Kelly LeBrock.
Right.
But it's one of those things where
Kelly Nemzik's going to be there, and she's the one who did our amazing IT and the D, big, you know, the Three Furies,
oh, yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China thing.
I'm still waiting for my Star Wars Episode 4 Stay on Target to put above the toilet painting that she said she was going to. I know, right? I see it, yeah. Exactly. Actually, the trench, the whole, you know.
I have her working on something else, too, but I'm not going to tell you because we have a caller. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller. Who's this?
Hey, is Dave there? This is Amy Jo.
This is Dave, and you are live on the air with IT and the D. How are you?
Oh, wow. Hi. I'm good. How are you?
We're doing phenomenal. I'm sorry. Were you expecting a buffer?
We can't afford screeners.
Hang on one second. Wait, I'll be back, okay?
Wait, no, they actually answered. Shit.
I don't know. Usually you call in and somebody else answers.
And then they put you on hold and they, yeah, no, we're not that cool.
Exactly.
Like we have a building with four studios in it, but we're not that cool. We haven't quite mastered that technology yet.
So we have to admit Jimmy McKnight is heartbroken that he's not in studio right now to speak with you. He actually hosted one of your panels, I believe, in Lexington Comic-Con.
Was it Lexington or Philadelphia?
No, Philly, you're right.
Yeah, okay, last year, yeah. Aw. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does a show on our network. He's one of those guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. Obviously, we are looking forward to seeing
sorry
you.
Sorry, I fell asleep last week.
A likely story.
That's why! Oh, that's an awful excuse!
I am such such an early bird. I am such an early bird. I'm like, I usually fall asleep with my daughter, so sorry about that.
Totally understandable.
No worries.
We have kids. We get it.
This week for you guys. Yeah.
So you're going to be out at Motor City Comic Con this weekend, out here in Metro Detroit.
I am, yeah.
And yeah. Yay. So I guess, obviously, it's all about the whole pink and green tour thing with you and Jason David Frank are going to be, you know, together.
Yeah, we're doing that. And then I'm screening my movie that I wrote and directed on the Saturday night as well.
That's right. Saturday night at 7 o'clock, yes?
Yep. It's called The Space Between. It's a heartfelt comedy, and we're screening that. So
as long as it's before karaoke, I'll be able to watch it.
If there's karaoke in it, there's
no. I said as long as it's before.
No, there's you have to understand. There's a long-standing tradition at these cons. There's a drunken karaoke throwdown that happens. There's actually wrestling belts involved.
Does that happen at 6 p.m. though?
No, it usually happens at about p.m. It happens about 9 p.m. is usually when it starts.
Oh, see?
So you should be fine.
I'll warm them up. There's a good soundtrack on it.
So good.
It'll be all set for drunk karaoke.
Sorry, I mean, I just found out you're a musician. Do you have some of your music on this?
I have one song at the end credits, and then the rest of the soundtrack's awesome. It's just a bunch of indie artists. When I was making the movie, I sort of tweeted out there to ask for indie musicians to send in their music, and I got like over 100 songs sent to me. So I had this amazing, you know, plethora of songs to choose from while editing the film, and we narrowed it down to 16 songs, and it's a really cool indie soundtrack.
Awesome. What's the movie about?
Yeah. It's about a guy who discovers that his child is not his own. And that is
sounds like a laugh a minute.
Facility. I know, right? Anyway, he finds this out in the beginning of the movie, and then he sets out on this road trip journey to find a biological baby daddy. And it's a heartfelt comedy in the same vein as like a Little Miss Sunshine type
nice.
Movie.
Wait.
Yeah.
Michael Ironside is in this movie?
Yeah, and he plays the nicest dad in the whole world, which is a rare role for him. Yep.
He's always like the evil, like bad guy.
I know, and he's not that. This is why he I sent him the script, and he just fell in love with it, and he hopped on board because he was able to play not his normal, you know, characters that he's usually cast in. And he was awesome. He was great.
He'll always be better in V to me. Always. I don't care what else he does. He'll always be better in V. So I guess talk to me. Like, so what is, like, what are, like, are you and Jason, David, and Frank, like, doing a panel at Motor City? Like, what's this pink and green thing?
Yeah, I don't have the schedule yet. But, you know, we just were in Houston last weekend at Comic Palooza, and then we're going to do, you know, Motor City this weekend, and we're going to do a panel together, and it'll be the second panel that we've ever done will be this weekend. And then we're going to do some photo ops together, and, you know, I don't know. And then we're signing some stuff and hanging out all weekend. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday.
Cool.
I think the panel is on, you know, I don't want to tell you when I think it is because I have no idea, but I don't have the schedule. I think it's on Sunday, but I'm not sure. So anyway, I'm sure
anyone who's deeply interested probably already knows where it is and is probably sitting outside of the room right now.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, and this is the question I always love to ask. So what it and there has to be one. What's the question that you're just tired of answering?
You stole my question. That was mine.
What's the question that I'm most tired of?
That you're just tired of answering,
yeah.
Be honest, you know there's one.
Well, sometimes, you know, I don't watch the show. Apparently, they're still making it, and it's still on. So sometimes I'll get questions about, like, what's your favorite Ranger from all the series and stuff? I only sort of watched the ones that I was on. I really know nothing about Power Rangers.
So
quite
Amy,
hard for me to answer.
So, Amy Jo, on season 6 with the Dino series, did you enjoy the...
Yes,
I don't really know. what I'm talking about when I'm answering any of the questions, really.
We'll just have Jimmy stand by you as stand by you as an interpreter. He can tell you the origins of the six power coins and how it works with the.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Actually, that's refreshing. Thank you.
Yeah, it actually is. So how many of these cons do you do? I mean, so you said you were just in Houston. Like, I mean, are you on the road a lot for this kind of stuff?
I am. This year I'm doing 8 conventions with the film because this is my debut feature as a writer-director, and I really want to get it out there. And we raised half the money on Indiegogo, so a lot of the money was funded by people who had watched Power Rangers and have supported my career as an actress. So I'm doing sort of a little bit of a Comic-Con tour with the film as well. So
awesome.
I'm doing more than I normally would do. Last year I did, I think, like 3 conventions, and that was the first year I ever have ever done one. So they're fun. It's a great way to sort of, for myself, you know, let people know that I'm, you know, I'm filmmaking now.
You're more than just a pink bodysuit.
I'm more than just a ranger. I'm getting into writing and directing and shifting over to the other side of the camera.
But you did just have a cameo in the new Power Rangers movie.
I did. Yeah, that was fun. It was fun to be a part of it.
How long into the movie was it before you got the opportunity to do the cameo? Did you know from the beginning, or was it a last minute addition?
Well, you know, they didn't want us. We kept, you know, I had my agent in L.A. I kept having her kind of call and see if, like, is there a part I could, like, go in for? Or they didn't want anything to do with any of the original Rangers. I think they were trying to make its own thing. And then my agent here in Toronto, in Canada, was like, well, why don't we just call the production office? I'm like, that's a brilliant idea. So while they were shooting, he called. It doesn't matter who it was, called the production office and just asked the director and the people who were actually there shooting the movie, and they're like, oh, that's a great idea, sure.
So it wasn't like
Canadian now too. So
it wasn't like Ghostbusters where they pulled a cab pulled up in Power Rangers, it was you driving. It wasn't like it was actually
with no relation to a prior character whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah, no, it is. Have you seen it? No, we're just town people. I don't quite know what we're doing in there. And if you blink, you won't really see us. But but it was fun. It was fun to be a part of it. So we show up because they asked Jason and David Frank to do it as well. And, you know, Jason's like, okay, so what are we? Are we like, no, you're just a townsperson.
Yeah, you were just taking pictures of the monster battle. So how do you feel about a new actress playing your character, the character you started out creating?
Well, I think the whole movie is just very, very different, right? It's sort of geared towards a different audience as well. I think it's geared towards older kids, where the original TV show is really for young kids.
Well, it's the same kids. We're just 40 now.
Right, or 33.
Right.
Age, actually.
And a half.
Right.
If you're 40, it was weird that you were watching it.
Where's Belle? Where? Jared?
I'm burning.
You were one of those.
I feel slighted.
You were one of those guys.
Guilty, totally guilty. I did watch.
Amy Jo Johnson just said, you're that guy.
Totally that guy. I go to the box and feel shame now.
Creepy.
I used to like you.
I know.
I'm just being funny.
What was I saying? Oh, anyway. So, I think they did a good job. I think the movie is just really different, right? It's a darker and more grounded, and the characters are, you know, it's just a different. And I thought they were all awesome. I really liked the movie.
I liked it too, but it doesn't seem like anybody else did. So the sequels are up in the air.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I hear all kinds of. Oh, right, because it didn't do wonderfully in the box office.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Maybe they shouldn't have spent so much money. My lord, do they have to make it for $100 million?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Let's do $50 million. Right.
Wow. Again, walk me into the boardroom.
Then they would have made money.
Feed some kids.
Yeah. Walk me into the boardroom and walk me through that conversation flowchart. Right.
So how do we? I guess how do we keep track? How do we follow you online? How do we stalk you? I mean, follow you on Twitter. I'm just kidding. You started it. I got to finish it.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go back to the movie. So the movie The Space Between is the spacebetweenfeaturefilm.com, and we have a really awesome website for the movie. But then I'm also on Twitter and underscore Amy Jo Johnson, and then on Facebook and Instagram is A to the double J. That's me.
Nice. Very cool. I got a notification that you followed us earlier today. I'm like, oh my God, Amy Jo Johnson's following us on Twitter.
I just followed you like an hour ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and just do you know for the screening that's going on with your movie, is that just like part of the con? Is there an additional ticket required? Is it like just camp out, first come, first served?
I believe that you can buy a ticket on the Comic-Con website. And I don't think you need a pass for the convention to get to the screening.
Oh, really?
I don't think.
Interesting.
That last weekend, you didn't. You just buy your $10 ticket, and you can come to the screening.
Oh, very cool.
And it's at 6 o'clock. I could be wrong, but that's the way it was last week. And so I'm assuming it's the same this weekend.
We'll take a look. We'll get the right information out there for you.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Sorry.
Awesome.
I know what I'm talking about. But it's, yeah, and I'll be there and watch it with everybody and then do a Q&A after. And talk about the movie.
Nothing but Michael Ironside questions from us, just so you know.
So what was it like? Could you bring him with you? That'd be awesome.
Right.
No, very cool. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it, especially since you're typically an early bird. We'll let you go off and crash out for the night. But yeah, Amy Jo Johnson, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Have a good night. Cheers.
Yay.
Amy Jo, she was awesome.
That was very cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so we've got about 10 minutes before Boomer calls. Do we want to take a break or do we want to keep
Absolutely.
Battling?
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's take a
quick break. We're going to come back with Colonel Boomer from Battlestar Galactica. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland, Secret Life of the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is episode 196, segment 2 of the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here at Studio One, Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. It's Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek. Dr. Hook Jeremiah's in the house as well as Randy. I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you will find all the things.
So before we get rolling, though, whether you're a seasoned internet pro or just starting out with your first website, HostGator provides an incredibly convenient drag-and-drop website building experience. It has hundreds of templates, including mobile-friendly options, that let you easily design a site that's perfectly customizable to your audience. HostGator doesn't cap the amount or size of files you're able to transfer or upload, so the opportunities are endless. You can create as many email addresses and forwards as you need. We find that comes in handy frequently. You can even kick off your advertising with $100 worth of credits in Google AdWords and Yahoo Bing. So what are you waiting for? HostGator even offers a 45-day money-back guarantee. So if you decide it's not for you, no problem at all. And if you ever need help, you can contact their 24/7 live expert support anytime via chat and email. It's all the tools you need to help build and host your website all in one place. So for a website you're going to love as much as you love your small business, go to HostGator.com/IT in the D to sign up today. Our listeners are going to get 60% off at HostGator.com/IT in the D.
They're awesome, by the way.
And as we love to say, it's so easy, a Bob can do it.
It's true, though. They're the best thing that ever happened to Dave because I don't have to call him to do any web stuff anymore.
Exactly.
And that's the one power you had on me, and now you have no more power.
You have, what am I, like David Bowie in Labyrinth? I have no power over you?
If I would have watched that movie, I'd know what you're talking about. We've discussed this before.
Duh, that's right. You're the devil.
I am.
So while we're sitting here waiting for Herb Jefferson Jr., Boomer, to hop in.
Colonel Boomer. Be respectful.
I'm curious. I kind of want to get his take on the new BSG. I do. On what he thought about it.
Which one? The one with Edward James Olmos?
Yes. So Say We All. Yes, that one.
The kids.
Yeah, because it was really weird. Like you had none of the original cast was in it, and Richard. Well, except for Richard Hatch, who had a cameo towards the end, and yet he was the one who was so outspokenly against it happening. And I think this is him calling in right now. Hello, this is Dave.
Well, Mr. Phillips, Herb Jefferson Jr. here. How are you?
I'm doing phenomenal, sir. Thank you. You are live on with the IT and the D show. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in.
Oh, thank you for being there.
Should we address you as a lieutenant or colonel, sir?
Well, you can call me Herb.
Herb, perfect. It's a good name. It's my cousin's name. It's a good name.
So obviously you're coming out to Motor City Comic Con out here in Metro Detroit here this weekend. We are very much looking forward to seeing you. I guess what are you looking forward to out here, and what should people expect from getting to see you out here?
Well, I don't know what people are going to expect to see from me. There's going to be a host of other guests. One thing about Motor City that I've always enjoyed is that there's always something there for everybody, the young, the old, the current shows that are very popular in film and television and pop culture. And there's always a nice group of retro types.
That's
dinosaur.
That would
types.
Be us. Some
of us folks who did film and television when they put something in the cameras called film.
Way back remember? In the day.
Way back in the day, back when the earth cooled. Dinosaurs ruled the earth.
And you had to sit through commercials.
But, I have to tell you, though, that this isn't my first time coming. I've always enjoyed working for the Goldman family. You know, it's a family-run outfit. I always have a great time. Always a very homey atmosphere for me, anyway. And been associated with them close to 20 years now. I think this is going to be their 28th anniversary of Motor City Comic Con.
Yep. Yeah, this is year 28. Yeah.
I'm looking forward, I have to say, to doing what we usually do. We do the pop culture events. I want to meet and greet all of the fans and answer their questions for them, because it's very nice when there is a local convention. Some of the major conventions, the Motor City has become a major convention in the United States.
Yeah, it really has.
From all over the country, all over Canada, and some come from all over the world to come to the show. But there are those things like Comic-Con in San Diego, where they get 150,000 people over 3 or 4 days.
That's way too nuts.
It's not the size, it's just the cost.
Yeah.
So often people that can afford who want to see these types of events, but they never come close to home. With something like Motor City Comic Con, it's a day trip for the family.
No, very true.
Some of the other types of conventions, you got to mortgage your home to get the tickets, to get there, the flights.
No doubt.
But for this one, you can bring grandma, bring the kids, bring the grandkids, and have a nice day trip, you know. And I enjoy doing that, because so often I'll run into fans that don't have the resources to travel to some of the major cities for some of the other conventions. And I look forward to that. There have been a few cases where I've done a convention and a couple came up and they were expecting. And then they came back. I saw them a couple of years later, and the baby had been born. We have a picture with the newborn. And then that's 7 years ago. Now I've got a series of pictures with the little fellow at 7 to 8 years old. And I don't usually get to see these folks unless I come to that city. I'm looking forward to that.
Somewhere there's a wall in that family's house that's dedicated to Boomer pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
With the
totally.
It absolutely is.
Hey, who's that in the background?
Which one?
Who? No, that was me.
That in the background?
No, that was me talking straight into the mic. That there's somewhere in that house.
Straight in the mic, and there's an echo.
No, Bob's here too. Dave, it's both of us.
Yeah, we sound a little bit alike.
No, isn't that you were talking on top of each other?
We were.
We do that sometimes.
Which is fine. I thought my ears were going. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell. Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to most. I appreciate the fans because without the fans, there is no industry.
No, very true.
Without the fans, there is no need for these conventions. There wouldn't be a showbiz industry. without these people tuning in and buying the tickets. So it gives me a great deal of joy to say, hi, how you doing, and answering their questions for them. No matter, there are times when I'll hear the same question 50 times in a given day. But I have to be there for that one person who got online, paid their up their ticket and came in, got online, and they want to ask me again. So they get treated the same way as the first person who asked the question.
You know, and that's an amazingly very, very cool and, like, a healthy attitude and outlook on the whole thing, because let's be honest, there are some that don't have that opinion and attitude, and it's painfully obvious. I grew up on Battlestar Galactica. I did. I loved it.
Oh, God. Oh, get out of here. Wasn't there anything else on?
No. In my world, no. There was, I even own, not only did I watch, but I own BSG 80. I do. It's not my fault. I'm a victim. And so
Thank you so much.
I have them also. I do. I wanted to ask your thought, because I held off for the longest time on the remake. In fact, when it first aired, I didn't watch it. It wasn't until it came back around on BBC that I finally sat down and caught it. I was kind of curious what you thought about it.
Well, it's hard for, and you'll find this to be true when you ask any of us who were a part of the original Battlestar Galactica. I mean, those of us who worked on it in front of the camera and behind our awesome crew. It's difficult for me to be objective about those kinds of radical changes.
Mm-hmm.
In a project that I had a hand in creating. Keep in mind, when we got Battlestar Galactica, all it was were words on a page in a book.
True.
We were tasked with breathing life into those characters, into those visions that that Glenn Larson had in his mind. So to step back and to accept this new innovation, I wish them all well. I know that time marches on, and different people have different visions about things, and variety is the spice of life. It's hard for me to be objective about the show.
No, totally understandable. I mean, with me,
it found its fan base. It did very, very well. Very, very talented actors and writers. Directors, and of course CGI is something we didn't have. We did
right.
All of the original Battlestar Galactica was done by hand.
Oh, with all practical effects.
Go on. I'm sorry.
I was going to just say, with all practical effects. I mean, Daggett was a small person in a robotic dog suit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got news for you, Dave.
Uh oh.
Hey. All righty. Small person inside a dog suit, huh? You know better than that. Didn't you know what was inside there? That was a 3-year-old chimpanzee by the name of Evie.
Wow.
I didn't know that either.
I did not know that. And
you didn't know that? Oh, God, yeah. Okay, now, the next time you watch the show, all right, you watch any of the episodes on DVD.
I'm going home and breaking out the DVDs. It's going
to
happen.
I want you to take a good look at the gate on that Daggett, and you'll see that that's a simian gate.
I'm going home and breaking out the DVDs. It's going to happen.
Okay. And if you go through, and if you, when you have the time, you may want to go online. And these are some of the questions, by the way, that the fans like to ask, you know, that I'm happy to answer for them. But, if you go in and just Google Evie the Chimp, E-V-I-E,
okay,
the Chimp, on Battlestar Galactica, you might get a little bit more information than I think we may have in this interview.
No, I'll absolutely go to that. Well, and so
yeah, going on up.
You know, so I mean, honestly, so I mean, obviously, you've had a long career outside of Battlestar Galactica. I mean, you've done.
I don't go back to the silent movies, but almost.
Yeah. No, I mean, you were in Rich Man, Poor Man. I mean, you did something, you know, even up through, you know, I believe as recently as 2015. Like, what if you were to tell people, you know, what works would you want people to see that you've done?
Well, the work, there are works that I've done that I don't know whether I'd say see them because I'm in them. There were projects that I've done that I was honored beyond measure to be a part of. One of them you brought up was Rich Man, Poor Man. Rich Man, Poor Man was the very first novel for TV,
yep.
The first successful novel for TV. I think QB7, I think, was the first, was the actual first, but that brought that whole concept of a miniseries to television. There are lots of reasons why I'm honored by certain pieces of work. It could be the director, it could be because of who wrote it, it could be because of some of them are because of who I had the opportunity to work with. I think this is my second guest star. My third piece of film and my second guest shot was Night Gallery.
Ah, okay.
Where I was Rod Serling's Night Gallery, and I had been selected by Rod Serling himself to be seen for this role, and that was a great honor. And in addition to that, there was only four characters in this Night Gallery, and one of them, one of the actors was, I can't call his name right now. Wouldn't you know it?
It's been
so long ago. Anyway, it'll come to me. Night Gallery, and in Battlestar Galactica, there was one scene where I got to do a scene with Fred Astaire. So I've gotten to work with some wonderful people.
It was one of the very first episodes, correct?
Say again, please?
That wasn't one of the first episodes. That was he played a gambler, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he played a gambler.
Yep.
It turns out to be
Cassiopeia's father.
Out to be Starbuck's father. No, Starbuck's
father. Oh, Starbuck's father, correct. Yeah.
So you couldn't drag out
Raymond Massey. I'm sorry, going back, rewinding.
Yeah.
Raymond Massey, the great Raymond Massey. You have to understand, you know, when you have an opportunity to work with people, directors and actors, producers, that you enjoyed when you were a child. Because I enjoyed his work when I was a little boy, long before I ever gave any thought to becoming an actor. Okay? And now I'm working with this man. That's... I don't know whether that's a reason for anyone else to want to see it, but these are the kinds of projects that that stand out a great deal to me.
So you couldn't drag Dirk Benedict out for this?
Well, you see, the way it works, it's funny you would say that. You see, doing the convention circuit, it is a business. It depends on what types of themes the promoters want to have for their show and the availability of the guests they'd like to have. I don't know what Dirk is doing. I'd love to. We always do well together. But it's ironic. Dirk and I are going to be doing a convention together in Germany in early July. We'll be in Stuttgart doing a convention there in July 1st and 2nd. So I'll be seeing him there. But I don't know if you just toss... few emails to Motor City Comic Con and let them know who you'd like to see.
Yeah, we'll start bugging Mike and Miriam.
Me to talk Motor City into having some talking Dirk into coming down out of Montana. But I'm sure if the deal is right, Dirk would certainly love to come.
No doubt.
I've told him about it.
All right, so yeah. Mr. Jefferson, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, we were just getting started. I knew we were pressed for time. I hope I didn't get too long-winded.
No, not at all. I honestly, you're one of those people that I feel like I could sit and talk to for hours, and hopefully we will have that opportunity this weekend. Seriously, looking forward to seeing you.
Same here, looking forward. Okay, all the best, and MotorCityComicCon.com for all you fans out there. Go on in there, find out when we're going to be there, and hope to see you.
Absolutely. We've got two booths. We'll be there in the Podcast Detroit setup for sure.
All right. All right. God bless, Mr. Phillips. And who is that, Bob?
That's Bob,
over there?
Yeah, that's Bob.
Hey, Bob, man, I peeped your whole card. I wasn't supposed to know you were there, I don't think.
It's all good. Thanks for the time, Herb. We appreciate it, and it's been an honor to talk to you.
God bless you all.
Cheers.
Stay safe. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And then I believe on the line now we have Mr. Tony Todd, if I'm correct.
Yeah, what's up? How you doing, Dave?
Oh, dude, that voice. I want you to narrate my life for me.
How's it going today? Happy Monday.
We're doing phenomenal. Thank you so much for taking the time. You're live here on the air with us at IT and the D. Obviously, you heard the end of the conversation with Herb Jefferson Jr.
Live. Wonderful. Who were you talking to, Herb?
Herb Jefferson Jr., from Battlestar Galactica and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I know him well. That's awesome.
So thank you so much for taking the time to call in. Obviously, you're going to be out here at Motor City Comic Con this weekend, which is it's basically our Super Bowl. So we're always looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's my third time. I was reading some of the history and then I realized they started back in 64. So that's when the Beatles came, right?
Motor City is 28 years old. Motor City Comic Con is 28 years
28.
Old. The first Comic Con, though, yes, was out here. I believe it was called Fanfare, and that's the one that moved the gentleman Shell Door that started that is the one that moved out to San Diego and started San Diego Comic Con.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a small, interconnected world.
Exactly. All right, so look, I'm just going to cut right to the chase as far as things that I'm interested in. Like, I know you've had a long and distinguished career, and you've done a whole bunch of stuff. But for the love of God, in Chuck, were you part of Fulcrum or not?
My NSA duties didn't last that long because I had to move over into another stratosphere and cross and become a villain in 24.
Yep.
But, you know, as government operatives, we can go back and forth into different countries and invite everybody in. It's all good. But I love Chuck. Chuck was a fun show. Who knew it was going to last 5 seasons? But to be honest, my character, Graham, didn't have a lot of stuff to do. And as an actor, working actor, we like it when we have things to do. So when the 24 thing came along, I was an offer I couldn't refuse.
Well, yeah, how could you? I mean, that'd be amazing. And then I have to tell you, I'm still scarred when I see bees because of Candyman to this day.
That's interesting. We have two beehives in our backyard, and one of our cats loves just sitting underneath the hive. And it doesn't faze him at all. He must have seen the film Blindfold or something. they're harmless, trust me. It's just when they're inside of a murdered, lynched person and have to come back and retaliate, that's when they get deadly. But other than that, they're fine. And they're dying, and we need to save our bees, because without bees, the whole cycle of life gets kind of screwed up.
No, very true.
So when you come out to these cons and all the work that you've done, I mean, what is the, I guess, is there a one thing that people lead in with? Is it Star Trek? Is it Chuck? Is it Candyman? Is it a combo?
Well, I like to lead in with Star Trek because, you know, when I broke into that ground, I think Star Trek sort of invented the whole fan con aside from the comic part of it.
No, very true.
But, one of the very first cons I went to was in Vermont back in, 1993 maybe. And I think it was $5 to get in. My head, things have changed. And
yeah, no kidding.
Glad to be appreciated and respected by fans. And because of that, you know, I think I can handle the different kind of fans easier. It's unfortunate that my career gets across both horror fans and comic fans, fandoms, conventions, and pop culture. So I've been blessed in that regard. So I never get inundated by too many particular fans of one particular genre, which is great.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you've been on a couple of different incarnations of Star Trek over the years, correct?
Mm-hmm. I was on three of the shows, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager.
I would say, are you the only one that's been on? No, I'm trying to think of all the cast on that.
No, Jeffrey, I think Jeffrey Combs has been on all three.
Okay.
Yeah, there's been a couple of actors. Casey Biggs, I think, has been on three of them. And these are all friends of mine, so all New York based, or Jeffrey's from Chicago. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, so I'm happy to be back in Detroit because it's a great musical and blues history and rebuilding history. And,
There's the
wearing no vibe, but trust me, I'm going to figure out a way how to get a Coney.
Well, there's the oldest.
We'll take care of you.
The oldest.
We'll get you there.
The oldest jazz bar.
Is there anything in Novi though? Is there any Coney Island system there?
No.
No. But we'll take care of you. And ask around. We've got a good rep with all the actors that show up. We'll get you there.
No, actually, the oldest
club.
Yeah, the oldest jazz bar in the U.S. is actually still in Detroit.
Yeah, Bakers. Keynotes. No, Baker's Keyboard.
Baker's Keyboard Lounge. Yep. I had the fortune to be an host in there one time. I like them, and I like the Raven Club, which is one of the...
Yeah,
I love the Raven. That's one of my
Raven
favorites.
Raven is fantastic. I went there last time I was in there. Some of the Funk Brothers were just popping in and just
really
on stage. Yeah, it was awesome. I'm a huge musicologist.
Now I feel like he's going to take us around.
Yeah,
like, not going to be us taking him.
Yeah, right? No. I'm a guest, but I already know where I need to be. And I was watching something ironically on Zimmerman's new show, Delicious, and he was focusing on Detroit.
Yep.
I didn't realize the huge Middle Eastern food concept is there now.
Oh, enormous! Yeah.
Stuff with American soul. So there we go.
You know, very, very much.
Just have too many casinos.
Yeah, this is true. So not only acting, though, but you've done...
Great sports.
Yes.
Great sports town.
Well, other than, football.
Yeah.
But so, you've done... obviously.
Oh, come on now. I got friends who are diehard Lions fans.
So do I. One sitting right across the table from me. And
oh, there you go. I can't help it if I'm from New England. So, we try to get better. But, a friend of mine said, sometimes it's better if you have a team that wins once in a while because you really, really, really appreciate it. And I kind of listen to him. That's kind of true. But I like being a Patriots fan.
I grew up in New Hampshire, so I'm right there with you.
Well, you got to win with a Michigan quarterback, so it makes sense,
Yeah, right.
There you go. See, there's another connection.
Right.
Absolutely. And I taught at in East Lansing once at Michigan State. I was there I did a 6-month term there.
Really?
Doing a fellow and teaching theater. So I got roots.
So now you've done the acting thing. You've also done voice acting thing with, Transformers and Dreadwing and all that. Like, how different are those two? Is it much different when you're in? I mean, obviously, you don't have to worry about makeup or any other kind of nonsense when you're being a voice actor.
No.
But, is it much different of a process?
Shoes. Once you book the gig, you can wear slippers, you can wear whatever floats, flip-flops, as long as the voice is working and you're doing your thing. Voiceover work has been really fortunate for me and it's a little harder to get because if you're an identifiable voice, sometimes new projects you think it's overbearing or it's too familiar. So you got to always remodulate and find out the right way to come and attack a character or a role. But I've been fortunate because not only the Transformers stuff, but Call of Duty and doing video games, and I'm a huge gamer. And I just did another project that's a non-disclosure. I'm sorry, but it's in the DC world.
Nice.
That'll be out in 2018. And then the Zoom thing with CW, The Flash, has been like a whole new renaissance where I got 3-year-old fans coming up to my tables now.
Wow.
Zoom, and then I do the Zoom voice, bring the Flash, and they just fall out. That's awesome.
See, and that's the thing, you have such a distinctive voice. Like, I'm not going to lie, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, I was walking through the living room, and I'd left the TV on, and I was just, and an old episode of Night Court was on.
Wow.
And I heard I heard the voice, and I turned, and sure enough, it was you.
Yeah, I've done some comedy in my life. And anybody that really knows me is, I started in theater. That's my first love. I found a bug pretty early on in high school, and then took a few years to find myself, like everybody. And then I finally got serious, got back, got my master's in theater, and that was it. And moved to New York. Did a lot of, as a matter of fact, we started the year this year doing a play in my hometown of Hartford, Connecticut at Theater Works, a great play from a woman from Detroit, Dominique Morrissey. Wrote a fantastic play called Detroit. But this play is called Sunset Baby, and it featured the music of Nina Simone. So that was the way I started my year. And then we had this little interruption with the writer, possibility of a writer strike. So now that's settled, and now work is coming back full force.
Nice. So I guess, like, what would you want people to come talk to you about, or what are you looking forward to chatting with people about while you're out here?
Well, I'm a fan too, so I'm looking forward to hooking up with, you got over 300 guests this time. Is Dennis Rodman still planning on being there?
As of today, yeah.
We'll see.
As of today, yeah.
Well, I'm a huge basketball fan, so what he did for the Bad Boys is wonderful, and we had him for 22 games on the Lakers,
right?
About 15 years ago, but yeah, it's a diverse crowd. I don't care whatever people, if they respond to something, that's wonderful. I'm one of those cog in the wheels, that great group of working class actors that continue to work, and you never know what's going to happen next. I have a meeting tomorrow for young director, I think he's 23, which is going to be wonderful, and it's meaning only, which always leads to good things. So I love it personally when the kids come up and there's a cartoon that they are amazed that you're the guy behind the voice in it, all that, what that means. And the Star Trek people, because that's where it all started, and anything in between.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So, if you do Google me, I'm a very pleasant guest. I like to engage with people and find out what makes them tick and why they're fans in the first place, and reassure people that I'm a fan of life. So,
yeah, we never
dog and a good piece of music.
Exactly. We never understood when people, you fly all the way out to Detroit, you sit in a booth, and then you're in a bad mood. It's kind of like...
I just figured out for the first time today, and I realized I have to put my eyes on contracts, that we were actually not in Detroit. So, but it's okay.
It's Metro Detroit.
It's a bit of a culture shock, but it's only 30 miles away, right?
Not even
that far. No.
Not even. Okay, perfect. So you guys got Uber, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a $20 Uber ride to go downtown.
No problem.
Exactly.
None. There isn't one.
Cut me off?
Not at all. We wouldn't cut you off. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you what. I think I've asked all the questions that I had on my plate. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we cut you loose?
No, let's tell your listening base to come on down. This is what, the 28th, is it? 28th?
No, it's the 19th through the 21st.
No, but is it the 28th actual convention?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, 28th year, yes.
So it's the 28th, 2 years from the 30th, the grand 30th, and you got over 300 guests. And I'm sure if you don't want to talk to me, there's going to be somebody there to want to talk to, in addition to the people that have helped all of us that have any part in the comic world, our writers and our artists and our illustrators who sit in artist role.
If you get a chance to roam down Artist Alley, there are some phenomenal artists that we know that are going to be there with some great, great stuff.
I can't wait. I've already promised my wife that I'm going to spend at least an hour in the dealer's room, because we're collectors too, and, it's one good thing about being a pop culture artist. I get all kinds of great perks and gifts, and you just see my own personal fan room. Only person who has a better one is Mark Hamill. Trust me, his man cave is legit. We did a film together a couple of years ago called Sushi Girl.
Yep.
And, so I don't just mention the name.
No, very, very cool. No, that's awesome.
I'm not a name dropper.
All right, well, hey, looking forward to seeing you when you're out here. I really hope we get a chance to shake your hand, maybe grab a drink, something like that, maybe slip on down to Baker's.
You guys have podcast booth set up somewhere?
We do. We are going to have our Podcast Detroit booth. We've got two booths. We're going to be hanging out there doing live broadcasts all weekend long. Maybe we can drag you over and sit down for a little bit there, too.
Yeah, I would love to broadcast live or something.
Awesome.
Let's bring in some people. They're expecting over 55,000 people. There's still room for people out there to come on in.
Exactly.
There's a website. And
yeah, it's MotorCityComicCon.com.
Awesome. You guys are great.
All right.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much, Mr. Todd. Appreciate it.
The time. It's been an honor. Yeah, thanks. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome. How cool is that?
That was very cool.
Candyman.
Anybody knows Raven Lounge is good in my book.
We're such nerds.
We're going to take a quick break. We've had the most patient guest in the history of this show. Peter Gunther's here from Grand Circus. We're going to be talking about coding and properties of coding and how to get to be a coder.
Right.
Right after this break. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
episode 196. This is the IT in the D Show, broadcasting live in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the sales guy, Dave the geek, Dr. Hook Jeremiah. I think you said two words this entire show. Text.
This may be a record.
And you had fancy people on.
And Randy, I do the Twitters in the house. Shout out to Ian, too. Find us online, itinthed.com.
All right, so here's the deal. Dollar Shave Club is the smarter choice. You get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep out to the store to buy cheap, disposable razors that give you a really nasty, cheap shave, or spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech that you don't need. I think we've had this conversation once or twice, Bob. I'm tired of the, I have my Mach 2, you come out with the Mach 3, and then I can't buy the Mach 2 blades anymore unless I want to spend like $80.
Or you have to ask the clerk to key open the
Exactly. Could you open Fort Knox
so I can
get to my – yeah, that'd be amazing. But so when I use the Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor and their Dr. Carver Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides, giving me such a smooth shave. The shave butter is transparent for a more precise shave and helps prevent ingrown hairs and fights razor bumps. You too can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club for a limited time. New members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of the Dr. Carver Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. And after that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their shave butter. And after your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at the regular price. No hidden fees, no commitments. Cancel anytime you like. We always love that. You can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/ITinTheD. That's dollarshaveclub.com/ITinTheD.
And I like shave butter on my breakfast toast to rock it out. Sorry, that's every time I heard that. That's all I kept thinking about.
Stop talking.
Hey, seriously, we've had the most patient guest, I think, in the history of this show. The life,
yeah,
in the life.
Zero words. I want the zero. Record.
Yeah, you got the record. Sat here peacefully, but no, I sincerely appreciate it. That's Peter Gunther. He's one of the instructors at Grand Circus Downtown. How you doing?
Good. 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 Happy to be here.
Hope you were mildly entertained. We appreciate you being patient with us. For those, you know, we've had Grand Circus on a few times, but I guess walk through for anyone not in the know, what do you guys do?
Okay. Really, we do three things. The first is community events and workshops. The second is we have a co-working space, but what we're most known for is the fact that we do coding boot camps. So most of our programs are 8 weeks full-time, face-to-face, with a couple weeks of pre-work beforehand, and we launch people on careers as software developers.
Nice. And I mentioned to you when you got here, I said it's interesting timing with this new program you guys have been going on, because ITinTheD is launching in Flint a program to get people A+, NetPlus, SecurityPlus, CompTIA certified, getting them level one help desk jobs. Coincides almost perfectly with what you guys are doing. Talk to me about that, the program you guys are launching.
Okay. We've actually got two launching in July. Both have due dates at the end of this month. So the first is the Tech Hire program with the City of Detroit. And there we're training people to become entry-level back-end developers. We're currently working with more than 30 companies to figure out who's going to be the right fit for these students. But this boot camp will lead specifically to guaranteed in-person interviews with some of the area's top employers.
Okay.
And then secondly, we're doing a boot camp specifically with Meridian, the health system, healthcare company in Detroit. That's going to be a little bit longer boot camp. It's going to be 8 weeks at Grand Circus followed by 4 weeks at Meridian. Those 4 weeks at Meridian are paid, and that's going to focus on front-end programming. So we've got a great relationship with Meridian. They've hired more than a dozen of our grads already.
Nice.
And they've identified that this is a great source of people. And so they're looking to bring some more through a program and take a strong look at them for employment. So both of these programs are specifically for Detroit residents.
So is that the only caveat? Say, how do you get in?
So you'll want to start at our website. We're at grandcircus.co. And if you just go to our calendar, you can see links to both of these. March 25th is the deadline for Tech Hire. March 26th for
March.
May.
May. Thank you.
May, that other M month.
All right. I was like, in 2018?
Yeah. Just put instant coffee in a microwave, go back a couple months, right, you're fine. Right. It's all good.
Speaking of coffee, I could use some. May. So you still got more than a week, week and a half. So May 25th, May 26th, you'll see those deadlines there.
And but is that the only caveat is Detroit resident, right?
So there will be a link to apply.
Okay.
Yeah, got to be a Detroit resident. It's not automatic. There is an application process because we really – we want to bring the right people in who are going to be successful in these programs.
I'm assuming you have to have basic computer skills.
For sure.
Not advanced skills because it is coding.
Right. You don't need coding experience. If you've dabbled in a little bit, obviously we like people to know like, hey, this is something I have some interest in. I can see myself sitting and, doing coding for a career. So for sure, we want to know that. But we'll have a process where we get to know the candidates. Starts with the application. Then we have in-person interviews. And we have a couple other elements. We'll do a sample class, lead the students through some lessons and have some conversations about is this a fit? Is this something that you want to do and are going to enjoy?
But the city's covering the cost though, right?
Correct. Both of these are free programs. That's why they're Detroit residents only.
Love
we
it.
Have lots of other programs, but these two are City of Detroit programs.
Okay. Jeremiah with Daily Detroit's in the house. I know this is something near and dear to all of our hearts. It'd be nice to get him a little bit of – I know everyone knows Grand Circus, but
– Oh, absolutely. And I think it's really important to highlight projects like this because there's such a skills and talent gap in the city. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to – everyone talks about like, oh, we need to develop the neighborhoods. We need to do this and do that. Well, the reality is that the future is jobs like coding. And any way that there can be bridges to these kind of jobs I think is like really crucial and really important. How has been some of the initial interest in the program?
It's been strong. We've already got a number of applications for both programs. I can't give you any numbers, but I know that we've been seeing some interest. You had an article last week and a number of tweets, other things have been bringing attention.
Excellent. Excellent.
I was going to say, sorry, one of my favorite story that I've read probably in the last 6 months had to be the Tennessee article with the hillbilly coders.
Oh, yeah.
And they got attention brought because all like the kind of displaced coal miners and they all kind of I don't know if it was the municipality or the state got together and said, what are we supposed to do? There's nobody having work. And they got them through coding boot camps and got them jobs that pay almost as good as they made doing coal.
Well, there's some really cool stuff, not just with Grand Circus, not to take any of your thunder away, but Detroit at Work is doing some really interesting stuff.
We work with them.
That's why I mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So there's not only stuff in coding, but there's stuff in a variety of fields. And they've got two different workforce development centers that are happening. So these are all really good signs because I think at the end of the day, it all starts with a job, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that gets us to get into nice, stable, higher-paying jobs, increase the tax base of the city, lather, rinse, repeat.
Quality of life for residents.
Which gets back to, and then you can fix the neighborhoods. That's how that all works. It's amazing how it's all tied together.
So we have a thing that we call the path, right? And it's easy when you start with CompTIA base and we figure out what do you like to do? Do you want to go be a network admin, do security, whatever you like, you go that way. In coding – I guess no one's ever explained it to me. I'm just curious your take on it. What's that path that path look like when you get into like basic coding?
Mm-hmm. So we do. Our admissions director Ian certainly has that conversation with people as he's walking through the interview process and so forth. I don't know that I can walk you through it in a whole lot of detail.
If you're partnered with a company. Like they already know what they're looking for in this instance.
For sure.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of – as we're talking to these companies, that's kind of guiding with the tech hire boot camp.
Yep.
That's kind of guiding like what's going into this curriculum. We're doing back end, but what exactly – how are we going to focus that? What aspects, what skills are important to them? So that those conversations are definitely driving that. On the student side, often students do come to us with a sense already, I'm really into the interactivity of websites and I want to work on front end. I'm more interested in some of these aspects, so I want to work there. Or I'm really interested in data and how it how it plays out and I want to work with that kind of code, so I want to go back end.
I mean, is there more – see me, I don't code not since I've been 14 years old. Is there a more pride of work when you're front-end developer versus back-end just because you can physically see what you've done?
No, not really. No. I mean, honestly, it's
the functionality of the pride.
It's usually more of a pain in the ass dealing with front-end stuff because –
too many people see it.
Exactly. Yeah. Could you make that a little more blue?
Can you make it pop?
can you make my logo a little bigger? A little bigger? A little more bigger?
Yeah.
What I what kind of job prospects do you think are coming out of this – are going to come out of this program for folks?
Yeah. So Grand Circus has been doing this for 4 years now, or boot camps for 3 years. And we've placed students at over 100 companies in Michigan now. So we really do have a strong job base. Certainly you're looking at an entry level or a junior developer position coming out of that. And then of course, you know, career growth happens from there. So specifically, we have about 30 companies we're looking at partnering with. We're actively having conversations to get those interviews. We are guaranteeing interviews, in-person interviews for the Tech Hire Boot Camp. And then for the other boot camp, the Meridian Boot Camp, they are specifically looking at these individuals.
Hence the name Meridian.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's very, very clever.
I mean, it's smart. I mean, you look at – I mean, we talked about it with, you know, Detroit Labs for years now. I mean, you know, they couldn't find mobile app devs. They started their apprentice program to grow their own. I mean, this is exactly in that same vein, which is good to see that companies are cluing in that that's what – more companies are cluing in that that's what they need to do. Instead of just complaining about the problem that I can't find the talent, fine, go make it. It's not that complex of a solution.
It just requires a different thought level, right? Because you're so used to going to recruiter or going to wherever and being like, this is how I source things. I don't need to build it myself. When in reality, some of your most loyal employees and people who are going to be with the company for 4 years through ups and downs are going to be the people that you build, right? Because you can teach skills. You can't teach work ethic.
True.
Yeah. Show on time. Don't smoke pot. You know, show up on time. That's the two caveats of getting into IT these days, what we've learned.
Yeah.
And we do – part of the boot camps – for part of all our boot camps, but especially certainly these two, is the soft skills. We do spend, you know, time on the career search and some of those, you know, a little more complex than the things you mentioned.
Right. But, I found out in the help desk environment that that's the two things, you know, or three things. Stay on your call time. Show up on time to work. Like, you know –
don't be high when you get there.
Right. And then hang on – keep your call times. It's mind-boggling because, I mean, it's such a turnover. And the way – what we've seen is just with the retail implosion where you look at Kmart and Sears and Macy's, you have all these people going, what in the hell – like especially in retail because there's no path in retail. You're there or you're there. What the hell am I supposed to do with my life? Well, call Grand Circus or call IT in the day.
Well, I mean, some of it makes perfect sense. So if you think about it, right? So if you're dealing with a call center, you're used to dealing with – customers. If you've been in retail, you understand that. And if you, especially if you've been good at it, right, and been at it a while, you understand that people are going to meet you at all kinds of situations and in different kinds of moods. And
this job would be great if it wasn't for all the damn customers.
Right. So, what are some of the soft skill challenges that you're seeing with people? So, you said you've mentioned you guys been doing this for a few times. What are some of the common soft skill challenges, and what are the things that companies are looking for beyond like the basic three that Bob was talking about?
Communication skills, certainly the ability to, you know, pitch yourself, present yourself well in an interview situation and really, you know, sell those things that you have, those skills and the experiences that you've had. That's a big one for boot camps in general, for our boot camps, and certainly would be part of the Tech Hire, that whole job search process and presenting, you know, your resume, your LinkedIn, all of those things. So a little less what the companies are focused on, but in terms of looking at the entire career growth, like this is just the first step, getting this first position and then growing over the years into a variety of positions.
Sometimes it can really blow my mind how people don't know those basic things. I've seen people with master's degrees and all kinds of things where it's like, wait, you don't know how to just give a presentation, put together a PowerPoint deck, like all these things to like make
– Or talk about yourself. Coherently.
Yeah, just a little bit. Right? Just a little bit.
I do computers.
Yeah. Right.
No, you do the Twitters, things. Randy. Not computers, just the Twitters.
And that feeds
no other apps for you.
And that feeds into the company too. If they're looking at a candidate and you're not presenting yourself well, they're thinking, how are you going to present the company?
Right.
And so we work on all those aspects.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the nice thing. I mean, realistically, I mean, especially focusing on like back-end devs, you can probably have a little bit more give and more leeway on the social side.
True.
Then,
true.
You know, I mean, it's not quite as customer facing one would think.
Right. We're not looking for, you know, rock stars who are going to be salespeople for the company, certainly, but people who can communicate well, work well on teams. Team dynamics would be another one of those things where we do a number of individual exercises and want people to gain skills on their own, but we do a lot of group work, project work, where you're really learning agile methodology. You're learning team skills that you can work with other people and work through some of these difficulties and the junk that comes up in the course of a normal development project.
So forgive me if you answered this. I don't think I remember it though. So how long is this boot camp?
So most of our boot camps are 8 weeks face-to-face with some pre-work ahead of time. And that's going to be true of the Tech Hire boot camp.
Okay.
The Meridian boot camp is going to be 8 weeks at Grand Circus followed by four additional weeks at Meridian.
Okay. So about 3 months and then. Okay.
Yes.
Not bad. Very cool. Anything else we missed? Want to make sure we get everything out there.
Yeah, we're just excited at Grand Circus about launching people in new careers in tech. And, you know, these are great opportunities that we're really excited. Put a lot of time in working with Detroit at Work, working with the city, working with Meridian. And we're just really excited to launch these. Again, the deadlines for Tech Hire, May 25th. Meridian, May 26th. And that deadline for the application just launches the process. So the actual boot camps will be starting in July.
That was my next question.
Both start July 10th. And so the 8 weeks and the 12 weeks run out from then. So the application process will go on from those May deadlines into June with the interviews.
Okay.
So three words, get on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got 10-ish days.
No, this is – to me, this is awesome for the state. I don't want anybody else leaving. I want everyone to stay. I want people to come here that left. And knowing that, you know, there's opportunity, not just that. We got told from a couple employers too, anyone you turn out, we're going to give them a level 1 help desk job. So just knowing that those seats are open, exist, just got to get people to the right training. It's great. It's exactly what I want to be doing right now in the city. So, Peter, appreciate coming out. GrandCircus.co. You can't coax that band for giving you the .com.
Nope, the band got it, and they're sitting on it.
They won't get we're going to boycott that band. Where are they playing? I'm not going.
We're not
going
to protest.
We're not going to protest. But Peter, appreciate the time coming out. Grand Circus, GrandCircus.co. This is going to wrap things up for the IT and the D show. Got so much stuff going on. I don't even know who to thank anymore. Thank you to Randy for doing the Twitters and Ian for doing the Twitters. Dr. Hook Jeremiah for saying those six words that you said.
You're welcome.
Thank you to Colonel Boomer and Candyman and Amy Jo Johnson. I'm going to call him Candyman. I don't know.
Tony Todd.
I know. I like Candyman better. But we sincerely couldn't do this without our sponsors. Thank you to Dollar Shave Club, Alibaba HostGator, and Accelera.
You're forgetting something.
What?
Your own thing this Thursday.
Ah, we've talked about it enough.
All right.
Go to itandthed.com. You know where to find us.
Nancy Whiskey.
Yeah.
Whiskey's in the name of the bar. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to – like we need whiskey before Comic-Con. On behalf of Bob and Dave, it's always been a pleasure. Appreciate you listening. Do us a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency disrupt system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy. Make the run! The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the camp.
Joe owned the cheese. Owns.
Bear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city.
I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.